It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hey ladies, I'm Jean.
And I'm Kathleen. It's so good to be back in the studio. It was nice to get away, but it's good to be home too.
Yes, we have these big microphones in our face, and we kind of like it because you can hear your voice when you get the little earphone things on. So I won't be shouting at you today, girls, because I had no voice control last time.
And there probably won't be any birds in the studio, at least not that we know of.
No birds. But we do have Our Lady, the Blessed Mother statue. Our St. Mm-hmm. Faustina first-class relic is always here. Mm-hmm. Our beautiful crucifix. And
yeah, I know it's going to be a great show today, Jean, because of some of the weird things that we had happen on the way here. So, ladies, I have to tell you, on the way here, because we all meet up and then we come to the studio together, I opened the car door and I banged my mouth with the corner of my car door. So it is swollen. It looks like I had my lips done and it didn't work well. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But as long as, I mean, it seems like I can talk okay. So if you all do hear anything that sounds a little odd, it might be that.
Yeah, but it looks fine. Yeah, you look fine.
Yeah, I think she's just a good friend. Okay.
I am a good friend.
Well, today, Jean, it is my turn for the echo. And we have Lent coming up. And I know you might be saying to yourself, like, oh, no, what's the date? Has it already here? But it's okay. You still have time. Lent begins. Ash Wednesday is the 17th of February. So you do have time. But we are in a phase of the church's calendar that comes right before Lent. Now, in the traditional calendar, there was an actual name for this little season here before Lent, Septuagesima, which is a Latin word that basically means 70, because that's about how far out we are. It's the week that we're in right now liturgically, but that name actually applies to this whole season, the 3 weeks right before Lent. And it might seem at first like, oh my gosh, isn't Lent long enough? Why do you have to have some something before that? But I really appreciate having this little porch, if you will, to the main area of Lent, because I have had too many Lents in my lifetime where Ash Wednesday comes and I'm embarrassed to say it, but I've had times where I'm like at Mass for Ash Wednesday and thinking, oh, I never did decide what I'm going to give up. I mean, that's pitiful.
Yeah, it is pitiful. And considering, too, that Lent is a powerhouse of grace.
Yes, it is.
Powerhouse.
Yes, and it is.
You really want all the grace you can possibly receive and to be prepared to receive it. And I'm excited for this year because this is my first time hearing about this as well, and to really think and ponder, what is it that I need to work on, Lord? What is it that you want me to do? And over the next couple of weeks, take it to prayer.
Yes, that's it. This is the time beforehand where you can really have time to put some thought into it. And as much as, depending on where you are right now spiritually, it might feel like, oh, I don't want to think about that already. Ladies, it's an invitation. That's what we're offering today by talking about Lent with you today. We're making an invitation to you to enter into Lent more fully, to do some things maybe that you haven't done before, to consider. I'm going to talk a little bit about where the church has been in terms of her observance of Lent, to try and spark something in you, because I do believe with all the nonsense that's been going on in our year, you know, this past year, this is an opportunity. This is really an opportunity right from heaven to say, what are you going to do?
Yes. And especially because it's the year of Saint Joseph.
Yes.
And Saint Joseph is the patron saint of your interior life. Mm-hmm. So to me, that means extra grace. And he's going to be my latch go-to to help me. All right, Saint Joseph, what do I need to do for this Lent? I just don't want to give up chocolate.
Yeah. No.
I mean, that's not working anymore.
No. And if that's where you are, ladies, then give it up with abandon. But we're going to invite you to go a little deeper.
Go a little deeper.
Now, I will say, in terms of St. Joseph, not to digress too much, but there are devotions to St. Joseph leading up mm-hmm. to his feast day on March 19th. Mm-hmm. And one of those is the seven Sundays.
Does that start this Sunday?
It started just last Sunday.
Last Sunday.
But that's okay. If you have not entered into that practice and you didn't pray any of the devotional prayers on Sunday that just passed, that's okay. You just pick it on. I mean, you go and find them and pray the ones for the first Sunday. That's okay. There's no time in heaven.
Yeah.
And then starting this Sunday, you can pick right up with the second Sunday. It's an opportunity, again, opportunity to enter in more fully to your devotion to St. Joseph. It's not about the rule. I can't do the seven Sundays because I already missed the first one. Don't be sidetracked like that. Satan would love to use that to discourage you.
I've already missed it because normally I do the seven Sundays before the feast of St. Joseph.
Yeah, that's okay.
I didn't even realize. So there you go. I'm going to begin again.
Mm-hmm.
Because St. Joseph is the man.
Yes, he is.
You want to become friends with St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
He mm-hmm. works miracles.
Yeah, it's a beautiful relationship. If you don't already have a relationship with him, it's a beautiful one to start during this Lent. Okay, so I'm gonna jump in. It feels like we kind of already jumped in, but I'm gonna jump in on some stuff with you all. Jean, buckle up. We're going to go for a little ride here. We might go a little deep, but I promise it's not going to be anything that you can't handle. Okay, so we're going to start with an apostolic exhortation from Pope St. John Paul II. Now, he wrote this after a synod on reconciliation and penance back in 1984. And he had some things to say. There are a lot of beautiful things to say in that exhortation. But one, he's talking about penance. And he says, penance means changing one's life in harmony with the change of the heart. And in this sense, doing penance is completed by bringing forth fruits worthy of penance, right? Your life, he suggests, becomes penitential. Now, when we hear that, depending on where you are in your own life, that might sound heavy and punitive. But I don't believe he means it that way at all. He really is saying for your life to be penitential means that your life is day by day in concrete ways oriented toward the higher, oriented toward the dignity of your creation, ordered toward your eternal destiny, which is to be in communion with God in heaven forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it means that I'm constantly facing, like we talked about in an earlier show, the blessing and the curse,
yes.
right? I'm constantly yes. facing these moments of which am I going to choose? Am I going to settle or am I going to reach?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a penitential life is a life that's joyfully reaching.
Mm.
It's not about being punitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to kind of let go of that. So he says it's a conversion that passes from the heart to deeds, and then to the Christian's whole life.
Yes, but I would have to imagine first, to even back up before that backup,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
is this person would have to have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
Because before you want to even do for the other, you know his love, you know his gaze, you know his encounter, and it motivates you to do the unthinkable.
Yes, but I totally agree, but I don't want to put anyone off thinking I have to have a perfect relationship or even a super deep relationship with the Lord before I can start mm-hmm. to enter into penance. No. Whatever you have,
mm-hmm.
that's where you start.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
where you start. And that will be enough because our God is a creator God who made everything out of nothing. Mm-hmm. So whatever you have, he's worked with less.
And he can't wait to work with it.
Absolutely.
And he delights in your delight in discovering him.
Mm-hmm. A lot of delight there for Lent.
There is a lot of delight. There is. Mm-hmm. The Lord delights in us. And somehow we just don't believe that sometimes.
Well, because there's a whole opposition force here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Satan doesn't want you to believe that. Satan doesn't want you to know how much the Lord takes delight in you, how much he loves you. So it's not a shock. It didn't happen by accident that we don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's by design. It's by a diabolical design. All right, so a couple of other things that Pope St. John Paul II said. Actually, let's just, two more things, and then I want to move on to someone else altogether. He says, contemporary man, now this was written in 1984, which is a lot longer ago than I want to admit right now, but it was a long time ago. He said, contemporary man seems to find it harder than ever to recognize his own mistakes, decide to retrace his steps and begin again after changing course. He seems very reluctant, he says, to say, I repent or I am sorry. He seems to refuse instinctively and often irresistibly anything that is penance in the sense of a sacrifice accepted and carried out for the correction of sin. So Pope St. John Paul was not holding back here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's calling it out. We seem to have a real problem saying, I'm doing anything that's difficult, that's sacrificial, in connection with contrition for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about our culture that doesn't want to give any kind of credence to that at all, that notion.
That's right. And that's when I said earlier, the word penance has this raw taste in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's why, I was saying, when you know Jesus, that raw taste becomes a little chocolatey.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just,
yeah.
It's not as negative as we've been made to believe.
Right, because it then takes on that connection to the reaching higher.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just are saying to yourself, yes,
yeah.
Yes, I want what's higher. Yes, I want what's connected to my dignity. And as your relationship deepens with the Lord, as you were saying, Jean, it's about, would you like another opportunity to console his heart after knowing that you've offended him? And who doesn't want to take that up when you're talking about someone you love, someone you're deeply in love with? But again, it's okay if you're not at perfect contrition. Imperfect contrition works too.
Just as good.
Yes, it does.
That's right.
It will work. All right, so the other piece that I wanted to bring up is something that's much older than Pope St. John Paul II. This comes from the Abbey of Salemme in France, and he is servant of God, Dom Prosper Garanger. He lived in the 19th century, kind of early to mid-19th century, and he was responsible for bringing back the Benedictine tradition in France at a time, after Napoleon and, of course, after the French Revolution. And he wrote a 15-volume work on the liturgical year of the church. So any part of the liturgical year you want to know about in terms of the traditions, the history, the spirit of the liturgy for that season or even that day, he's got it in this volume. And he talks about Lent, and he mentions in there an even earlier encyclical written by Pope Benedict XIV. This was in 1741. And even at that time, in 1741, the Pope was saying, the observance of Lent is the very badge of Christian warfare.
Mm.
By it, we gain strength against the princes of darkness. It shields us with heavenly help. And then he says this, which gives me a little little pause. Should mankind grow remiss in their observance of Lent, it would be a detriment to God's glory, a disgrace to the Catholic religion, and a danger to Christian souls. Neither can it be doubted but that such negligence would become the source of misery to the world, of public calamity, and of private woe.
All right, in a minute we are going to take a break, girls. We're going to come back and we're going to discuss that. That's good.
Yep. It's heavy, but hang with us. Hang with us.
Hang.
Hang.
AM 1270 Catholic Radio Charlotte. Learn, love, and live your faith. Together, it's the best way to live your day.
Carolina Catholic News. Discover and celebrate Catholic Schools Week, January 31st through February 5th. The mission of the Charlotte Catholic Schools is to proclaim the good news of the gospel and to provide academic excellence, a hallmark of education, allowing each student to develop spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, physically, and socially in preparation for an ever-changing world. As communities of faith, Catholic schools instill in students their destiny to become saints. A special message from Dr. Greg Monroe, the new superintendent of Catholic schools. He wants you to know that on behalf of your principals and teachers, they are thrilled to have you and your fellow classmates return to the classroom. They are committed to enter this new school year safer, stronger, and together as followers of Christ. Be sure to listen on Carolina Catholic Radio AM 1270 at 5:55, 11:55, and 3:55 p.m. for interviews of fifth grade students at St. Matthew's Catholic School. DiscoverMax.org/schools for information on each school and application forms. CharlotteDiocese.org/schools has additional information on all the Catholic schools in the area. CarolinaCatholicRadio.org has links for all the schools and so much more news for informed Catholics. For the Carolina Catholic News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
This is Jason Murphy with the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Registration is now open for the 11th Annual Men's Conference on March 20th at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. Speakers include Bear Wozniak, Belmont Abbey College President Dr. Bill Thierfelder, Dr. John Aquaviva from Wingate University and host of Faith and Sport, and my own partner in crime on the Obligation Radio Show here on AM 1270, Business Life Coach John Eads. Mass will be offered by Bishop Peter Jugas and assisted by the seminarians of St. Joseph Seminary. Sign up today for live or virtual attendance at CatholicMenOfTheCarolinas.org.
The Carolina Catholic mobile app is loaded with everything you need to stay close to your Catholic faith throughout your day. You'll find portals for prayer, learning, parish and school life, and so much more. Download today from your App Store or Google Play.
Welcome back, ladies. I'm Jean.
Hey, it's Kathleen. Okay, thank you for holding in there over the break, because I know we're a little deep, Jean, but I know that these ladies are ready for what we're talking about. And I know that the Holy Spirit wants this message put out here tonight because of everything that we had to go through to get here. I had ice on my face for like 30 minutes before the show.
He tried to stop her from speaking.
Not going to happen. All right. So we were talking about Servant of God, Dom Prosper Garanger, and his writing about the liturgical year and what he was saying about the Lenten observance, the type of fasting that Catholics would do during Lent during that time. And he was writing, as I said, in the 19th century. He referenced at the beginning a letter that was written by Pope Benedict XIV in 1741. So at this point, it's already like 100 years since then that he's writing. And we're a good 100 and plus years from that time. And he was saying, okay, so among those who are not practicing that observance of Lent, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that was, but he said, those nations, this is a quote, those nations among whose people the spirit and practice of penance are extinct, are heaping against themselves the wrath of God and provoking his justice to destroy them by one or other of these scourges, civil discord or conquest.
Wow.
This was written at a time in the 19th century. This was written like before the Civil War.
Wow.
Yeah. So how far are we even from that time? Mm-hmm. So, okay, so what was the practice, you might ask? What was happening then? So for Catholics, for hundreds and hundreds of years, the fasting that happened during Lent was not anything even remotely like what we have today. So what we have today is you are fasting and abstaining from eating meat on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other Fridays, you are abstaining from meat, but you're not bound by fasting. That's what we have today. And I'll be the first to admit, I have had many times in my life where I thought, it's a fasting day, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I don't do that well. But for Catholics, for centuries, Lenten observance, the fasting of Lenten observance meant all throughout Lent, except on Sundays, you were having one meal.
40 days.
For 40 days. One meal. Now, there, over time, things got a little relaxed, like that. So it went from one meal, which originally was supposed to be after sunset.
Mm-hmm.
One meal, and then it went to one meal, and then you could have a little something. Mm-hmm. Right? A piece of bread, a glass of wine, a little something that would kind of tide you over because that one meal at sunset started to go earlier and earlier. Now, on days when we fast, which again are only required those 2 days mm-hmm. during Lent, you're used to hearing the one meal and then two smaller that together don't add up to the quantity mm-hmm. of food of that one meal. Mm-hmm. But we may not be used to hearing. I certainly didn't grow up thinking about it in terms of like, it's not really even a meal.
No.
Like if you're having a big meal at lunchtime and then in the evening you're having a sandwich mm-hmm. and you're going to think, okay, well, that's not much. But that's so far from what Lenten observance was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the church recognizes that the power, because it comes from Christ, about fasting.
Yes. I mean, he's really explicit that this is required.
Well, because what it actually does is it cuts the strings to attachments that bring you to your lower nature.
Absolutely.
So cuts the strings.
You will probably hear or read at different times as we get closer to the start of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Yes.
Those are kind of the three pillars for Lent. But if you think about it, and not that I originated this connection, those three pillars of Lent correspond to the temptations that we receive that draw us away from our heavenly destiny. So prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are aids against temptations of the devil, the flesh, and the world.
Mm.
So prayer counters those temptations mm-hmm. that come directly from the devil. Fasting counteracts the temptations of the flesh, right? Who's in charge? The needs and desires of my body or my will that can choose God? And then almsgiving to help against the temptations of the world and worldliness
mm-hmm.
and drawing
mm-hmm.
our security from what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you really take those three pillars seriously, you will do major, major work in terms of your sanctification.
Okay, so we have 2.5 weeks until Ash Wednesday. Let's really take it to the Lord and say, Lord, in these areas, where do you, Lord, not where my neighbor, but where do you, Lord, see that I need the work?
Mm-hmm.
And listen. Listen to what he says. And don't do 50,000 things. That is the setup for failure right there.
Mm-hmm.
Pick two main things. One, that after Lent is done, hallelujah, I don't have to do this anymore. And another, that you will continue your practice. For example, daily Mass. Say you don't go to daily Mass, but truly major grace at Mass. And you decide, mm-hmm. okay, during Lent, I am going to go and sacrifice and get up a little bit earlier and go to daily Mass. That is something you might want to continue after Lent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
After Lent.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can pick up another practice, something.
Maybe you don't sleep in your bed. Maybe you sleep on the floor. I know that sounds radical, but I know a teenager who
is doing that.
He did that. I respect him a great deal.
Yeah.
But that's not something he's necessarily looking to do all the time.
Like that's right.
Once Lent was finished, he was happy to crawl into bed, I'm sure.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of that program, Exodus 90, where the men are doing that program.
And sometimes cold showers.
Yes,
for
exactly.
Them.
No, mm-hmm. no technology. For some, get off Facebook, except for listening for Joyful Echo on Wednesdays.
Yes, although you can listen on demand. You don't have
you
to
can listen on demand. Yep. That's true. Yep. But pick something that you're going to notice. This was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
I see my heart changing. I see my reactions towards others.
Yeah. You're not going to see that immediately. Please don't think, oh, I tried that. It didn't work. The next week I was, you know, cranky. Mm-hmm. No. This is a longer term thing. And if you are struggling with a particular sin, especially if it's a mortal sin, don't look for all these other things that you're going to do. That is what you need to take care of.
Right.
And start to make some progress on during Lent. Don't worry about those other things right now. Just focus on that issue for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think? We should do a little praying now, or is there anything else the Holy Spirit's poking?
Oh, you know, there are so many things that we could talk about in terms of Lent, but I do think it would probably be a good idea if we transition now into our prayer time, because I think we've said enough to take the ladies somewhere deep.
I'm excited, though, that we all are together. We have a lot of listeners now. We're with you. Mm-hmm. We're all going to be in this together, thinking over the next 2.5 weeks. Let's pray for each other.
Oh, yeah. We will touch base as we keep going on in Lent. We will try and help to hold you accountable, but we will also be there because, honey, you are going to fall.
Yeah.
You are. Yeah. You are. I had a priest once say, if you don't have some fall in your Lenten observance, you probably didn't pick something hard enough to tackle.
That's right. That's
you know
right.
what I mean? So,
and you know what? You can go into Lent this time and say, you know what I've planned? I've really spoken to the Lord about this. And that will be encouragement, too.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
will be great. Ask your guardian angels.
Oh, yes.
They're with us all the time. Maybe it is developing a relationship with your guardian angel. You know, I know personally for me, the Lord's already told me he wants me to focus on the 7 sorrows of Mary.
Mm.
So I will be doing. Last year, I picked up the rosary every day, and I never dropped that practice. And it's really changed my life. Now it's going to be the 7 sorrows of Mary.
All right. Well, let's take this before the Lord, Jane. Let's lift these ladies up in prayer.
Okay. Let us pray. And then we're going to tell you what we're doing next week, giving you a heads up, girls, and what's coming down the road. All right.
Let's sanctify our time in prayer today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in great thanksgiving for being back in the studio and being together with our friends and lifting all of us to your great glory. But we'd like to do that with our Mother, our Heavenly Mother, that she will take us by the hand right now and just calm our inner spirit. Calm so we can encounter your love, Lord. And as we hold her hand and we come before the cross of her Son, Jesus. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you that we even have a desire to know more about you and to do the best we can possibly do to learn and love you more during this Lenten season coming up. Lord, we just ask as we stand underneath the cross of your Son, that his precious blood pour upon each one of us and our family members, and that we say right now, in the name of Jesus, nothing will interfere with the Lord's work being done in our lives. We ask for a grace, a special grace, to be given an awareness of what, Lord, we need to do this Lent. What will bring us closer to you? What can we walk and do and work with the Spirit so beautifully to change something in our life that has us captive, where we are not free? We want to be free. Please show us. Give us the grace to see and to not be afraid, to have courage.
Yes, Lord, keep our focus on ourselves with you and not get distracted by what other people are doing in their Lent, not by what you've called them to do, but stay focused on what you're speaking into our hearts. And we're so thankful, Father, that at a time when others can feel helpless and we can be tempted to feel so helpless with all the things that are happening around us, that you've given us a way to have power in this world, supernatural power. It's humbling. It's humbling, Father.
And we want all that you want to give us.
Yes.
We want everything you want to give us. We don't want to come with just a thimbleful. We want the gallons. We want the pipeline, Lord. But I want to pray for any sister out there that has maybe been away from practicing her faith for a very long time. Mm-hmm. That happens, you know, from time to time in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes through misunderstanding or disappointment or hurt. Sister, welcome home. Come back. Come back and come sit in front of the Lord. Oh, he would be so pleased. He would be so pleased. He doesn't look at our lives with sin. He looks and sees our pain and our brokenness. And he says, I came to save you. Mm-hmm. I came because I want happiness more than you want happiness.
Mm-hmm. He has a freedom ready for you, sister.
Absolutely. So do not let the enemy speak lies to you. You are a daughter of God, and you are a beloved princess in the kingdom. And Jesus would love to welcome you home. And we ask for the special grace of our guardian angels to keep nudging us closer to the Lord and not hide from him in the garden.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was fast.
Oh,
girls,
I
we
know.
Start crying.
I'm so sorry.
I know.
I need to cut you off, but yeah. There we are. Okay, next week, Jean. Next week.
Tell next
the ladies
week.
What we're doing.
We are doing an incredible book study called Searching For and Maintaining Peace. It is by Father Jacques Philippe. We will have the book on the Joyful Echo Facebook page. It's a tiny little book, but it is worth its weight in gold.
It is a powerhouse book, ladies. And if you are the first one to go on the Facebook page and comment about Searching For and Maintaining Peace, we'll get a copy to you for free.
See you later, ladies.
We'll see you next week. Have
Bye-bye.
A great week.